Divine Risings, everyone. I am Kadaura, and this is...
Hi, I am Ketsura, and it's such a joy and a pleasure to be with you all today.
Yes, it's really nice. Today we have some beautiful, beautiful topics we're going to talk about. But first, we're going to all ground ourselves together, just going over a quick little nice conscious breathing, you know, to align us all and to get us in the mood. And
speaking of mood, as we were having our quick little mini prep talk, I had a candlelight going and it's just at its bottom point. So I'm going to light this new candle for all of us here in honor of the light. May it continue to grow. May it continue to bring that spark of inspiration into all of our lives. I would invite you to light a candle if you wish to do so.
Nice. So if everyone would like to, you can either do it with your eyes open or eyes closed. Sit in whatever way is comfortable for you, palms up or palms down. Palms up for receiving if you'd like to, palms down if you don't need to receive. So you're going to breathe in through your nose and you're going to breathe out through your mouth. They're going to be deep breaths and we're going to breathe with you so that we all breathe as one in sync. So it's going to be in through your nose, out through your mouth, in through your nose, out through your mouth. Again, in through your nose, out through your mouth. Doing good. In through your nose, out through your mouth. I'm going to do one more. In through your nose, and out through your mouth. And that is the beauty of breathing. It feels so good. To just be relaxed.
I was feeling like I was doing labor breaths.
This is spiritual labor because we're about to like drop all this stuff on you guys. So be ready for this spiritual birth where we're just going to be planting seeds and talking about our experiences and things coming into this new year, including the moon, you know, embracing things, letting things go and such. So I'm going to start it out. With the start of the Chinese New Year coming up, a phrase I learned is that during Chinese New Year. Go ahead.
Oh, real quick. And speaking of labor, that is something that I did 3 sun cycles ago. And so part of why we are here in the midnight hour is so they have a little one. And so if by any chance he awakes, I will be stepping out momentarily and just wanted to let you know so that can be aware of that. And all right, thank you. And we got the Chinese New Year.
This is life. That's the beauty of life. You know, we have these things in life where we have to shift and adjust and adapt. So with Chinese New Year, the saying they have is Gong Xi Fa Chai, which in English translates to hope you get rich, which when I first heard that, I was like, wow, on Chinese New Year, everyone says hope you get rich. But when I actually decoded that and processed it for myself, you know, if I said that to people, I would hope that on the New Year, you get rich in like self-love and happiness and spiritual connection to source or in even just spirit. And Katsuda is going to talk also about the year of the rat, of the metal rat.
Yeah, and I really love that. Thank you for sharing on like getting rich and rich monetarily. Like, let's kind of trickle this money down, bring it to the people, all the people, and as well as, of course, rich in our well-being and health. And so, the rat, we're coming into the metal rat, and with this new year, what's really amazing is we're in this time of, I mean, we had the 2020 big, you know, big year with that. And we have been going through a lot of shifts and changes. It's just bringing into like this whole new, I mean, with this last lunar eclipse that took place, it was, according to the source, was the end of like a 5-year cycle and the beginning of a new year cycle. And not to mention, we just got like, we're, you know, still, I find it still somewhat fresh out of a 26,000 year cycle that we just started in 2012 with that new cycle. And so there's just so much newness and so much like fresh, like birthing, you know? And, what's interesting is with this being the year of the rat, so the story goes with the rat is known as being really clever, and so the rat was riding on the back of the ox was going to be the start of the year, but as soon as the animals arrived, the rat got down, and it then was at the beginning of a line, at the beginning of the line, and so
smart.
Rat, yeah. And so, yeah, so like there's just when I, you know, read that it's like the rat is the beginning, it's like, oh, okay, like, yes, like this is just a really juicy time for that new, that newness. And so with that, like, what are you bringing into this, to your new you? And so, yeah, the rat's connected to the wealth. And yeah. It's a very optimistic and energetic little critter. And so we'll see some of that throughout this year, that optimism, the energized optimism.
Definitely.
Yeah, that wealth surplus. And that's what I wanted to share with the Year of the Rat and the Chinese New Year blessings.
And also coming in, you know, we're also moving into a new moon. Like you said, there's so much newness. And when you think of these 26,000 year cycles, with the last one being in 2012, it's like, wow, we're still at the beginning. Like, if the 26 year cycle just restarted, like, this is the beginning. This is still a new phase, new generation, new upgrades, new changes. It's like, we are truly being given a second chance. Like, this is our chance to make something of this planet, which is why I love being able to speak about, you know, moving into the new year. You know, each rebirth that you experience. One of the things I wanted to talk about was how when we come into these new years, leading with our spirit, you know, leading with our most authentic self and not staying so much shackled to the past. It's really hard at times to let go of things, which is a process, but it's very important to be able to let go of what happened in the past, because we actually can't change the past. You know, but we can adapt to it and overcome and learn from it. So that's something I definitely want to talk about. So
I do want to say we can't change the past. I totally agree with that. And I also want to say that what we can change is how we view the past and the feelings and emotions that we associate with the past. And with that, would just like to share on some work that I have done. And gosh, this is totally going into triggers. We said we weren't going to talk about triggers.
It's okay. We said we let it flow.
That's right. Letting spirit be the guide. And so with the triggers, okay, so one thing that I've done and doing some work, kind of, it's like when a trigger arises, and let's say you are like really, you dive deep. And so first, you know, sit with the trigger, really feel like, okay, what's coming up, recognize the trigger, and remember, this is a beautiful opportunity to grow. And it's also most likely the thing or the situation that caused that trigger to arise is not the actual, like, what's causing such discomfort within your body, within your mental space. And really it's something deeper that's asking to be looked at. And so allow yourself to just really feel the emotions without reacting in a way that can perpetuate more discomfort and dis-ease amongst you and wherever you're at, but just be with that trigger and then allow it to take you back to perhaps where could be a big, a large area of energy around that created like that. So for example, I got really triggered with family at one time. And in that, it wasn't the actual situation, but what was triggering was that feeling of not being heard, the feeling of not valued. And so I was, you know, I took that moment in that trigger to go back to that little girl who felt like she didn't have a voice, and to just remind that little girl that, like, you know, you are love, you are beautiful. And so with that, and so then, like, you know, say this was a situation with my grandmother, so then I can go back and also, like, imagine, like, what it would feel like to hear that from my grandmother, and just start to, like, create a memory where I am hearing those beautiful words and that love and that spaciousness that allows me to express my voice. And and it's an opportunity with that trigger to go back into that space and kind of reorganize, remember, shift how we feel about a certain situation. Even though we can't change what happened, I think we can, we can shift our internal blueprint, I'd like to say, of what's present there.
I definitely agree. When I was doing shadow work to clear a lot of the things from, like, my military past, one of the things that clicked in my mind was that doing so and looking into the past is kind of like how you rewatch a movie. And every time you rewatch the movie, you see different things. So it's like I would force myself, and it's not easy. Like, sometimes it's hard to trigger yourself intentionally, mentally, to go see it all over again. But I would see something and I would be like, wait, let me find out the root cause of why I feel this way. And it's, I just kept watching the movie in my mind over and over again, learning new things. And I think it, when you build that routine of how you learn to deal with triggers, it helps you so much in the future when you're dealing with future triggers. So something will happen, and like you said, you catch yourself and you feel in the moment. And I think that's another thing. A lot of people are afraid to feel, you know, they don't want to feel depressed or feel anxious or cry or anything like that, especially if you're in a crowded area. But I learned, okay, I can hold it in right now. I don't have to let loose in front of everyone, but to still make sure you create a space that when you can be by yourself or wherever you want to be, to actually process it all. And it's such a beautiful thing to be able to process stuff like that. I'm so glad to have learned about shadow work and understand triggers, because now when something happens, it's weird when you look and be like, oh man, 5 years ago I would have been so triggered by that. But now you're just like, it doesn't trigger me because I've dealt with that. So
yeah, totally. And I am definitely, like, for most of my experience, at a place where I still contain myself until I feel like I can go to somewhere private and then just unravel. I'm working towards, like, allowing myself to be in situations and spaces and with people that, if I get to that place, that I can just be comfortable and completely, like, allowing myself to be witnessed in, like, that moment of the experience and feelings. And, you know, I invite, if that's something that resonates with you, to explore that possibility of what that would look like, and if, you know, what that would feel like, and if it's something that would like to call in as well.
No, I believe it's good. It's good to call these things in and to share experiences, because when we share our experiences and we get to hear ourselves, even then, like, as I was talking about the experience, I was rewatching the film and I was remembering stuff and being like, oh, this is something I missed. So definitely, yeah, we can definitely call that in and bring it in and allow it to sit in the moment and just to resonate with it. Very beautiful. Thank you for bringing that up so much. Yeah, it's all part of the healing process. And I know at times, sometimes we feel like we have to heal within a certain time frame, but there really isn't a time limit to how long it takes every individual person to heal or to move forward into the new year. You know, for some people, you might not feel like your new year starts until March or April or something like that. And that's okay, because you have to take the time for yourself to process everything and let go and go forward until you feel comfortable. And maybe you won't be able to let go of 2019 and 2020 until next year, and that's okay. It's just as long as we're trying to, like, you know, move along.
And speaking of new year, when it feels right, the new moon in your then your new moon within your, like, sign, if you're a Sag, for example, so like the new moon in January, like that's about the time, the earlier January, we're coming into Aquarius, I believe. The revolutionaries. Aquarius. And so that's a good time, your new moon. There's, you know, the Mayan New Year, August 25th, the Samhain New Year. So there's so many New Years.
Aquarius is like, they were smart back then. Like, they just knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this whole cycle is like the Aquarian cycle, this new big one.
Yeah, I feel like the Aquarian cycle lasts forever. Everyone's always like, age of the Aquarius. I'm like, forever? Duh. But it's cool, you know. We respect the other zodiac signs. Totally. Good stuff. No. So definitely. And as we're talking about our experiences, we did want to kind of introduce ourselves a little bit. So you guys can kind of understand, like, our backgrounds and stuff like that. So myself, Kadaura, I am ex-military. I've always been on somewhat of a spiritual path, but I've been able to focus on it a lot more now that I'm no longer in the military and I am kind of working for myself. And in my studies, I've grown closer to alchemy, specifically spiritual alchemy, to where I'm realizing, like, the connection between spirituality and, like, our breathing and our mindfulness and meditation and, you know, the connection between body, mind, emotion, and spirit and source, as well as, like, the alchemical process is what some people would see as science and things like that, because they also involve the body, the mind, the cosmic soul, and your spirit. And what I do is I focus on trying to guide others into helping them heal themselves and find more equilibrium and balance in their own life, just through different techniques and practices or whatever their beliefs are, still finding a middle ground and way that they can incorporate these different techniques into their daily lives.
Beautiful. I love that the equilibrium, that balance is so important to you. My last name, my mother's maiden last name, Balanza. That's balance in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pretty big part of my life, and what I do is help to bring balance to life. And I consider myself a reflective practitioner, and with that is basically a teacher, ongoing teacher that likes to see how things continue to change and looking at how things continue to change and evolve and how it's received. And currently teaching Reiki as well as ceremony, offering ceremony, and swim lessons. The little ones.
That's balance. But when you said your last name was Balanza, the first thought that came to my mind was, it's not Z3, just because of the name change earlier. So
I don't know.
Our little inside joke.
I don't know about the Z3.
Z3. Awesome. Awesome. what was the other topic you wanted to, we took notes on all this stuff, but you know, everything flows. So you like kind of jump around. What was one of the other topics we wanted to hit?
Yeah. So, you know, really talking about leading with spirit, mm-hmm. And how that can lead us towards our liberation. So one question I had regarding that, like leading with spirit, like, you know, that's something that I have done throughout life, but didn't actually recognize. And as I've gotten, you know, more matured in through the passing suns and dances around the sun, have kind of gained a deeper insight into what that looks like for myself. And before sharing, I would love to hear a little bit of what does that look like for you? Like when you are allowing yourself to be led by spirit, what's that? What is that? What's that mean?
So I know growing up and on this path, you have that like inner voice and you go through this. I went through these phases of being like, oh, it's an inner voice, but it's like an inner voice of like someone else. So I associate it with being like some type of spirit guide or something like that. And as I matured as well in my journey, I started to realize that inner voice was actually me. You know, the inner voice was my spirit, because I believe that my spirit kind of already knows what I'm capable of doing and the things I can do. And in trusting it, because there's times I would fight it. You know, there's situations where I would meet someone, whether it be like a relationship or a friend, and spirit would literally be like, no, this isn't going to work out. And I would be like, no, you don't know any better. You're just a spirit guide. And then it wouldn't work out. And then there were times where it would be like, you know, trust in the process. And I would trust in the process and it would work. So as I started to listen more to my actual spirit and being led by it, instead of like fighting against something that I didn't understand, I really understood this is me talking to myself. Like, this isn't just the angel and the devil, you know, fighting on your shoulder. This isn't some like external thing. This is me trying to guide myself to become my most authentic self. And in surrendering to myself and following my spirit, it has allowed me to become my most authentic self. You know, this has allowed me to do the shadow work because I can kind of see myself objectively and outside of who I think I am, like outside of ego. Spirit allows me to see myself beyond the ego and to come to terms with a lot of things that I have worked on in the last couple years. You know, spirit reminded me, hey, if you want to work on XYZ, maybe separate yourself from the environment that you're in. So that's why I've been backpacking for 2 years. And that's been like one of the best processes in my life, to just see myself without all of the materialism that I was so used to. So yeah, that's how I've let go of the shackles and been able to process and be led by spirit. And every day something, I learn something new and I love it. You know, I'm always learning new things. I'm always processing new things. I'm always sharing new things. So I love it. It's a beautiful breath. And what about yourself? I definitely love to hear about your journey and being led by spirit, your experiences and wisdom on that.
Thank you. Yeah. So for me, being led by spirit, I would say starts with listening to nature, listening to the earth, generally. That's how I have started to commune with, you know, myself, how you're mentioning, it's like our inner self. It is our self. It's like this conversation that's going on inside, yet it's almost like this make-believe, like, it's also like this, like, make-believe friend, like, mm-hmm. that, you know, made to believe, and you know, like our spirit guides and fairies, and I like to talk to the fairies sometimes, and, mm-hmm. you know, I do believe, like, it's all, like, aspects of ourselves, and mm-hmm. the master spirit guide we talk to, it is, like, mm-hmm. you know, basically ourself, mm-hmm. So the wind, you know, like I always like to really like tune in when I'm outside, or if it's been a while since, you know, if I feel like, I'm not sure where I need to go on my path. And, you know, if I can go out into the woods, awesome. Yet I mm-hmm. recognize it's not always realistic. And, especially once moving back into the city and being really cold, I haven't as much, but anytime any opportunity that I get to just be outside and feel into like what animals are present, what just like the energy is outside, you know, like even the clouds, like I really just love going to nature, you know, like looking at the clouds and scrying, like I think that's what it's called, scrying, when you look mm-hmm. and like make your own interpretations. Mm-hmm. And you know, and just what signs pop out and what is being said, and just that moment of stillness and having that internal conversation and really checking in and really feeling into the body, if that's, you know, something that feels really authentically good, or if mm-hmm. perhaps it's like a swaying into a different direction, for whether it's ego desires, whether it's, you know, maybe just wanting to learn the lesson again. Sometimes that's a thing. And oh, and sometimes that's why, yeah, we take certain paths. It's just to relearn a lesson. Although I definitely feel like right now we're at a place where we have done a lot of the deep internal work. And I believe that at this place, it's really important to really like have, you know, always be compassionate for the human self, yet at the same time, hold ourselves accountable for our path and for the path we choose to walk, and how we can stay the most in alignment with our own inner source, with spirit, and really continue to make the decisions that keep us moving, moving with grace, with ease. No? Yeah, no?
I really like that you said, like, scrying, because in a sense, the sky is one big mirror. So that was actually really good that you said that. But I agree, no, it's about moving. And I always tell people that when you're moving, you don't always have to be moving forward. Moving backwards is nice as well, because you, again, are re-looking at things from the past, moving left, right, moving up or down. I always just say, you know, move. And at times also take time to stop and recharge. You know, when I was doing shadow work, sometimes you get to a point where it's like you're in like shadow continuous modes. You're like, heal this, unroot this, unroot this. But it's like we forget to recharge. And it's like you got to take that time to relax and allow yourself to actually process it all. Because sometimes we just pull all the roots and then now you don't know who you are. And that's one of the biggest things in shadow work, is you get to a point where you've pulled all these roots and you actually have lost the identity that you had, and your ego no longer is able to pull from those either. So even your ego is like, oh my God, who are we? And you're like, oh my God, who are we? So you look at yourself in the mirror and you actually are seeing the new version of yourself. And it caused me personally to break down when I actually removed a lot of shadows while I was in Germany, because I was living in the forest. I remember walking through the forest and just breaking down, crying, because I didn't know who I was. I was actually going to record a video to talk about it, and I broke down because I was like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Like, who am I? What am I? All these labels had been removed, and it was a good thing for me to cry and let that out, because that, again, was part of the process. So.
Yeah, that time to integrate the lessons. There is a such thing as spiritual burnout when, you know, it's just one thing after another and there's not a time in between to rest and just really integrate. And thank you for remembering to bring to speak to that. And also the layers, you know, there's so many layers. Like sometimes we do something and it's like, oh, that big, like coming to that new phase, and really like that's just leading us to the next step. And so, you know, once we've had that time to like sit and rest and, you know, just be ready. It's one mm-hmm. thing I've been with this new cycle, this new year, I've really just reminded myself, like, okay, I just stay grounded, be ready for anything to come, and embrace whatever wants to come through, whatever wants to be cleared, whatever wants to be released, whatever wants to be born. Just, and you know, like being ready, like what does that mean?
hard question to answer.
Yeah, I guess like just like the water, you know, back Bruce Lee, like being ready to like just move with it, not having to be this rigid, like I am this. Yay, there you go, yeah. Water. Just flow and move with whatever comes and just ready to like, yeah, not resist, but flow.
And I think that's what we do a lot. A lot of times we are prepared and we feel like, but you can't always be like prepared enough sometimes. Like sometimes you're like, all right, I'm prepared to undergo this shadow work. It's something I want to change. I'm ready for it. And then you get to the root and you're like, oh my God, wow, this root's so much bigger. Cause you know, it's like the iceberg, you know, when you're pulling that root, you might realize that it actually goes way deeper. And it connects to other things. And that's something I learned doing the shadow work is I'm like, okay, this is the trigger for it. And then I'm like, oh my God, it actually has something to do with my childhood. And then you let go and you're like, wow. And you have to decide, you know, are you ready for it? And you don't have to take that dive right away. You know, you can still sit in that moment and be like, okay, I've actually understood this part. But as far as going even deeper, maybe I'll wait. But just know that sometimes when you're pulling these roots to the triggers and to your shadow work, a lot of these things are connected to other aspects of your life. But again, the importance of doing the shadow work, especially in my experience, is not doing so, continuing to wear these masks, continuing to shackle yourself, truly prevents you from opening up other aspects of your life and, you know, living your authentic life. And a lot of times if you let all of this stuff build up, it begins to flow in other aspects of your life. I had relationship problems because I wasn't able to deal with my military and childhood traumas. So it's like these, again, these things are connected. So working on them piece by piece, obviously not trying to take them all on at once because of the spiritual burnout, but it's like giving yourself that time to do it, you know, and I didn't set a time. I wasn't like, I need to finish in 2020. I would tell myself, okay, I'm going to work on them one by one. And if it takes me a month or months or the year, then I'll do it. But I felt great knowing that I was actually trying to become the best version of myself.
Yeah. And that's, you know, digging those roots out, clearing that space, like that is a liberation. Like that is the only thing that is keeping us in shackles in any sense of being boxed in is ourselves. And we have that inner power, that inner source to liberate ourselves. And that's, I think, yes, that really feels like a part of this cycle is that liberation. And so, yes, that means, and you know, we're not just liberating ourselves from like what we have been experiencing for this last like 3, 4, 5, 10 decades, however long you've been alive, but we are like liberating ourselves from hundreds, I'm going to say thousands of years of patterning. And so it's really so potent, such a potent time to be present, you know, break those patterns. And even in, I'm gonna, you know, I have this really super like sciencey roommate. And so even if you don't believe in many lifetimes, like just imagine being like an egg. So we all start as an egg, you know, it's half of us, it's a little egg. This egg was in our mother's body that was in our grandmother's body. Mm-hmm. And so it has been proven that like that DNA like store stuff. And so even if we're looking at like what was stored within our grandmother, like we're going back like 100 years and we're clearing all of that, you know. And then I do believe in multiple lifetimes, and so I do believe this is like clearing like a lot. And so another, you know, just reminder for that gentleness with ourselves, gentleness with others, and really, yeah, Just really loving.
True.
Really loving, starting with the self right here.
And I definitely learned when it comes to working on breaking those chains, especially the ancestral ones, to remind myself that I'm not alone. Because for the most part, your ancestors have probably come to the realization, like, wow, what weren't we able to work on? And they're there for you, and they will show you, and they will guide you. And when you're able to break those chains, again, like you said, you're freeing your mother, you're freeing your grandmother, great-grandmother, you're freeing yourself in other lifetimes. And it's just so beautiful and refreshing to break that cycle, especially if you have children or you plan on having children, to know that you've broken the cycle, and it's like you can kind of teach your kids and show them the things that you didn't actually know, and you can support them. The thing I love so much right now about the spiritual community of those that have children is seeing parents support their children for what they're going through, because a lot of us didn't have that support.
Speaking of
children. No worries. It's going to go support her child. So a lot of us didn't have that support growing up. So it is so beautiful. I commend and respect all of you parents out there that are taking the time, that are supporting your children when your children says that they see, you know, magical things or fairies, or they see things in the sky, you know, and supporting them and allowing them to be and exist in the moment, you know, not telling them what they're seeing is wrong. You know, to each their own. Every parent's allowed to raise a child the way they want to. But I am so glad to see that love and support, because that compassion that we show for our children is oftentimes the compassion that we have shown or plan to show our own inner child. When we're doing this shadow work, showing compassion for your own inner child is very, very important, especially for childhood traumas. When I was learning about, you know, breaking the chain within myself, I really had to go back and look at what did I learn as a child as far as conditioning goes, you know, what my parents thought was right and wrong versus what I believed to be my own truths, you know, my own moral values. And as I started to look back at a lot of things, I started thinking, well, I don't think that was wrong. And as I reminded myself, that's not wrong, that's not right, it's just what's truth and what's not truth for me? What resonates with me? And in showing my inner child self-love, unconditional love, compassion, and reaching out, you know, and letting that inner child know, hey, I've cleared away shadows and I'm clearing away more shadows. My inner child and I were able to connect a lot deeper. And that helps me. That helped me, you know, let go and forgive, you know, like my parents, you know, to not hate them as much as I did growing up, because I will admit that I was angry with a lot of my childhood. I felt that I was never understood. I was never listened to. I felt I could never share any of my spiritual experiences. But as I did that shadow work, I was able to sit down and talk with my mom, and we had some really, really deep talks. And I explained to her how I felt growing up. We both, you know, went back and forth of, hey, this is how I felt. And then, you know, she could say from her point of view, this is, you know, how I felt, this is what I meant. I'm sorry you took it that way. And then, you know, I apologize for the way that I took it, you know, my assumptions, because there are so many assumptions that we have in the spiritual path. We tend to assume a lot of things based off of our own experiences, which is what I've actually done. Another shadow was my assumption. I would assume XYZ because I experienced that. But in a way, that's unfair, because my experiences don't always align with what else someone else is going through. You know, what you experience in your life is what you experience in your life. I can't tell you what's right or wrong. I can only, you know, offer different options, different techniques, different methods, whether it be shadow work, whether it be meditation, whatever type of spiritual path you're on, whatever type of spiritual journey you're taking. All any of us can really do is offer just different techniques, different ways to walk down these different paths, because there's always going to be multiple paths. So it's beautiful that we can all share these experiences. Like, wisdom is so beautiful. Like, I love knowledge, you know, reading. I have tons of books and stuff. I love reading it, but I love actually applying it all and being able to share what we learn with other people, to give people hope, to show people that, you know, courage is out there and that you can do it.
Yeah, I think experience is the best teacher.
Even if you have to experience it multiple times.
I was thinking before closing, I would personally like to offer a card for this lunar cycle. I was going to ask you if we should pull an oracle card or a tarot.
Ooh. I'm a bit like a tarot card right now. We'll go with an oracle card because we're talking about like moving forward. So we'll go with an oracle card.
All right.
If you pull a metal rat, I'm going to be like, what?
Well, that's really interesting. This is a deck that's supposed to like kind of help with that shadow, kind of shadow work. And so, and you know, like with shadow work, like I really believe it's beautiful in the sense that it can be really challenging and really hard. Yet through doing the shadow work, like we are allowing the light to come into places within ourselves that have not been able to feel that light because of fear or shame or whatever it might be. And so with that, you know, shadow work, I just want to offer that reminder that it's a really beautiful process, and all the pains, all the feelings are beautiful. And they're really, you know, it's okay. It's good to give them a voice and allow them to be heard. And it's clearing. It's a very clearing process to bring in greater light. I got 9 relationship. Show you. Let's see, how can I show you? Ooh, that's a hot fire.
I was going to say, please do not burn yourself.
This doesn't look like... Okay. Beautiful. A little too close to the flame. All right. And so relationship here is speaking to... All right. It is reminding us to let go of any resistance to a harmonious union with others, and to really just allow ourselves to be present with other beings. It's really, yes, with relationships. So if there may still be a great split within us, the real us, and the mask that we present to the world, the time has come to stop running away from ourselves and to really see ourselves completely. And we might just find that we really are lovable.
Yes. That's totally in alignment with what we just talked about. I love it.
Yes. And so that's, so through doing this, like it's really going to allow us to be like one with ourselves, which will allow us to be one with others. Mm-hmm. So that relationship, like what kind of relationship do we have with ourselves? You know, what's that look like? What's that feel like? And that is the kind of relationship we're going to carry forth in our connection with other beings.
True.
The more we can just love and adore ourselves, like, yes, be in that like love and adoration. And you are going to find that along your path.
True. I love it. That's actually a really beautiful card to be drawn. And like I said, in complete equilibrium and alignment with the message. I definitely want to, you know, thank everyone for listening in, and for Katsura and I being able to share. This is our first one together, and we definitely plan on working together and going through and other topics in the future. It's going to be exciting.
Remember, you are held in eternal divine union. Thank you for joining. May you walk with ease and grace always and in always.
Always. Unconditional love to everyone.
Mm.